Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode number 130 of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. Thank you for hanging out with me today, listening to the pod. I've got a good episode for you today, talking about a word and topic that is often misunderstood. We're going to get into the word powerless and what it means to me, my recovery, and most importantly, what it doesn't mean. People see and hear this word and attach all kinds of negative, harsh definitions to it without really getting any concrete information or taking the time to learn what it really means. It's like you see powerless in the first step and immediately get defensive, like someone's insulting your character and calling you weak, when really no one is talking about you at all. Last week, I re-released one of my favorite episodes of Addiction Unlimited. Those of you who have been with me from the beginning know I'm a huge fan of Amy Dressner and her book, My Fair Junkie, and she was episode number 12 of my podcast. It's so crazy to think that far back and what I was doing and how the pod has evolved since then. In the last few weeks, Amy's name has been popping up, and people didn't know I had an episode with her, probably because it was so far back. Also pretty funny, I told Amy in our episode that she should have her own podcast, and she was laughing, and she's like, I don't have time for a podcast. And I was bummed because she's so freaking fun and funny. But now, my friends, she does have her own podcast, and I love that. When I realized that people weren't hearing her episode with me, I decided to re-release it because we have literally tens of thousands of downloads a month now, where when Amy was on originally, my podcast wasn't even 3 months old yet, so I only had like a couple of thousand downloads a month. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that one. I absolutely love her, and I think she is so brave for sharing her story the way she does. And she and I were supposed to have dinner the last time I was in LA, and we didn't get to, so we said we would have dinner the next time. But then coronavirus happened, and the world fell apart, and I haven't been to LA in months, so which is its own sadness and withdrawal for me. But hopefully I'll see her next time I'm out there. I miss my friends and my AA groups out there, but I'll get back there when the time is right and it's safe for everybody. Speaking of Los Angeles, I'm sure many of you have heard the sad news that Dax Shepard relapsed after 16 years of sobriety, and he released an episode of his podcast, Armchair Experts, with his story about that. And I have to be honest, when I first heard about Dax relapse, my first response was anger. And this is a prime example of the importance of not making assumptions about other people's behavior and choices and not being judgmental. You know, relapse breaks my heart. I hate it. I hate the pain it causes. I hate how manipulative and predatory it is. And I hate the shame that comes with it. You guys know this because I did a whole episode about it, you know, when one of my close friends relapsed earlier this year. So my initial response was to get angry. And I'm in a group chat with some of my besties. And as they talked about Dax's relapse for a few minutes, I realized that I was kind of being a jerk and I needed to listen to the episode. Later the same day, another friend of mine, Preston from the High Cost of Anonymity podcast, called me and said, Angela, have you listened to the episode from Dax Shepard? And some of the comments Preston made in talking about the story started to shift my view. And also I realized I needed to put away my fear and anger at relapse and listen to this story as one sober person to another. And that's what I did. What I love about this story is it's such a great play-by-play of how manipulative addiction is. In every piece of his story, you can see the manipulation, rationalization, and justification until it moves into full-blown addiction with lies and deceit and the whole thing. And I am so grateful he shared his story. You guys hear me talk about this all the time, that just because some of us have been sober a long time does not make us less vulnerable to relapse. My alcoholism will always prey on me because that's what it does. Addiction is an apex predator and it will behave exactly that way. It doesn't matter if I've been sober 100 years. That predator will always be a predator. This is why I'm so dedicated to doing the things that keep me happy and healthy, because I know I'm not safe. It's not like my sobriety is a full-time job the way it was in the beginning, but I am a full-time job. Keeping myself on track as an emotionally healthy human is a full-time job. Staying on top of whatever I have to do to manage my anxiety is a full-time job. Making sure I'm connected with friends and family and being honest is a full-time job. Life is a full-time job, and Dak's story is proof that this thing, addiction, is a master manipulator. I don't want to give away all the details. If you haven't heard it, you should definitely check it out. It's called Day 7. And on that note, you guys, I'm so excited. We're going into the holiday season. I love the holidays. I love winter. And I have some really cool surprises for you that I am so crazy excited about. And this is going to be a time that we need to stick together and do everything in our power to stay happy and healthy. All right, stressors are extra high this time of year, and we have the added layer of coronavirus, and I'm not sure what that's going to look like for travel, etc., but let's make a commitment to stick together and hold each other up and keep one another accountable to make good decisions we're proud of. We're definitely going to end this year with some great things going on, and that leads perfectly into 2021, when I hope things will really start to get back to normal. And I have big, big, big plans for us in 2021 too. All good stuff coming your way. And Dak's story leads us perfectly into this topic today, right? We are powerless and powerful all at the same time, my friends. You hear me say that we are the strongest people ever built. People with addiction are super strong, powerful, committed, and capable. Just the pain and suffering we endure daily in our addiction, right? Like, it takes a lot of strength, and we are super committed to our addiction. So I think people forget that we have this ability to be really dedicated to something. You know, like when we finally get sober, we want to get lazy about our recovery and we act like it's such a chore. But man, my level of dedication and commitment to my drinking was insane. So I need to have that same energy in my recovery too. We hear this word powerless in the 12 steps, and it has a tendency to turn some people off. But if you pay close attention, it says powerless over alcohol. It doesn't say you're powerless and weak and you suck as a human being. I think that's how people interpret it, but that is not what it says. There's no question I'm powerless over alcohol. And all that means is when I drink, I don't really know what's going to happen. I don't know how much I will drink, for how long I will drink. I don't know who I will offend or get in an argument with, or if I'll end up hurting myself somehow. All of those pieces of the equation are unknown. And that's why we're powerless over alcohol. We have no power in what will happen once we drink. It also doesn't mean that something terrible will happen every single time you drink. One of my favorite sayings I learned in AA is, I didn't get in trouble every time I drank, but every time I got in trouble, I was drinking. Right? That makes perfect freaking sense. I have a specific moment that it became crystal clear how little control I had over my drinking. And for me, this was an extremely difficult part of my journey because it seems so absurd that I can't control a liquid in a glass. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when I quit drinking once for 30 days. I remember looking at the drink, like when I decided to have a drink again, I remember looking at the drink and thinking, there's no way I can't figure this out. There's no way I can't control this liquid. For a long time, I thought I just wasn't trying hard enough, right? I kept telling myself, if I really make a commitment, if I'm super dedicated, like I've never been dedicated before, I'll be able to control my drinking. But I couldn't because it doesn't have anything to do with how hard I try or how much I want to control it. Once it's in my body, it has its own ideas. If you think about this logically, one of the things we love about alcohol is how it distorts our thinking and lowers inhibitions. That's why we're looser, more fun, you dance like you wouldn't if you were sober, you flirt better, you're more confident, you're more funny and a little more loud, all because the poison is manipulating your brain. So why do we think we can control the poison, right? You know it affects your decision making. You know it definitely make really bad choices when drinking, overreact to things. We say and do things we regret. So why do we think we're going to be able to control this all of a sudden? You see what I'm saying? Like all my attempts at controlling my drinking when it's something I have no control over. All the conversations I had with myself about how I was going to be super dedicated this time. I'm not having more than two drinks, no matter what. I'm going to make sure I do it the right way this time because I know I can. But I can't. I could sometimes. I had a few occasions that I didn't overdrink. And I had thousands of occasions that I didn't do anything crazy or crash my car or get DUIs or get in fights with people. Most of the time, my drinking wasn't a big dramatic event to the outside world. Most of my drinking habits were only devastating to me on the inside because I knew the truth on the inside. I could hide the truth from everyone else, but I knew I didn't have control. I knew I didn't have the power I needed when it came to alcohol. Once it was in my body, I was powerless over what happened next. I've shared this story with you before. One night when I got home from bartending all night, I had an appointment with my probation officer the next day, and I made it through my whole bartending shift without having a single drink. It really wasn't even a big deal. I wasn't struggling or anything. I knew I wasn't drinking, and that was it. When I got home, it was probably 3 a.m., and all I had to do was go to bed. Go to sleep, get up the next morning, make it to my appointment, and I would have been fine. But the committee started chattering when I got home, reminding me I had beer in the refrigerator and telling me having a couple of beers wouldn't hurt anything. So I decided I would have a beer while I walked the dog. Then, when he and I got back, I decided I would have another beer while I made myself something to eat and watch TV for a little while. The committee told me I just needed to unwind and relax before I went to bed. Next thing I know, it's 6 a.m. I'm drunk. Drunk enough that it wouldn't wear off in time for me to see my probation officer. And I don't know why I didn't cancel my appointment or move it to later that day or something, probably because I wasn't thinking clearly because I was drinking. But honestly, it was the first time I understood how little control I had. Not that I am powerless in my life and decisions, because I went through my whole night behind the bar serving all my regulars and friends and I didn't drink a drop. But the moment I had one drink, I couldn't manage to stop even to protect myself and my freedom. That's what powerless means. And I wasn't falling down drunk. I wasn't crazy out of control. Nothing bad happened that night, except that I knew I couldn't have more than 2 or 3 beers because I had my probation appointment the next day, and I couldn't stop there. I probably only had 6 or 8 beers total, which wasn't a lot for me. But I knew what was at stake. I knew I had to see my PO the next morning, and I couldn't control how many drinks I had. When I showed up to see her, I smelled like alcohol, of course. She gave me a breathalyzer on the spot, and I failed. That's powerlessness. How many times have we screwed up appointments or birthday parties or tests or family gatherings or called in sick to work because you were hungover or showed up late because we drank too much the night before? Again, even that night for me, I wasn't out of control, crazy, stumbling around, making a fool of myself. I just had too many drinks when I knew I shouldn't be having any drinks. Powerless isn't a big dramatic situation, but once alcohol is in my body, I do not make my best decisions, and that will never change. The flip side of that coin is when I don't put alcohol in my body, I'm perfectly capable of making great decisions and living my life to its fullest. I'm super powerful in my sober life. And even to this day, many years into my recovery, if I decided to take a drink right now, I would still be completely powerless as to what would happen next. I'm not powerless in my life, only with alcohol. The step says, step one, powerless over alcohol, not powerless over life. Powerless over alcohol, and my life had become unmanageable. I did a whole episode about unmanageability. I think about unmanageability as, you know, all the chaos and drama and all the different ways that manifested in my life. You know, my relationships were always a mess because I chose crappy people to date. So I was always in turmoil with my feelings hurt because they lied or cheated, where I always paid my bills at the last minute. I was always 10 to 15 minutes late everywhere I went. I was neglectful of my family because all I cared about was me and my drinking. I ate crappy food for every meal, fast food, fried food. I was always out of money and rushing around to pick up extra shifts because I blew all my money drinking and going out. I was super controlling and not very nice a lot of the time. I was not a very nice person a lot of the time in my drinking life. I was shitty to people and judgmental and condescending. That's unmanageability. And then once I was in legal trouble, that added a whole new layer to unmanageability because I was always late to my appointments. I was in a constant juggling act of if I could drink that night or how much I could drink and not get caught and yada, yada, yada. Unmanageable and exhausting. I'm not powerless in my life. I was unmanageable. I'm only powerless over alcohol. I am, you are, powerless and powerful. One of the best parts of living sober is how much power I have in every piece of my life. Of course, like most addicted people, I have control issues, okay? I like things to be a certain way. And much of that desire to control comes from feeling very out of control. And that's just a part of anxiety. So we like structure and rituals because it feels controlled and it feels safe. Now, I will say in all of my healing and work that I've done on myself to become a healthier person, I don't control other people, right? I definitely had that when I was less healthy. Certainly in my drinking life, I wanted to control everybody and everything. But now, like, I don't have any desire to control people, but I definitely want to control, like, my environment and how things are and what I'm doing and my habits and my actions and my rituals, right? I want to control basically my environment, but not people. I don't care about controlling people. So much of that desire to control comes from feeling very much out of control. And a huge struggle in finally putting down the drink or drugs is that everything from that point forward is unknown. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know how I'm going to feel. I don't know how people will respond. I don't know if I will face rejection. I don't know if I'll be good at it. It's all unknown, and that's why we get so scared to do it. When we have a controlled environment and rituals and routines, it creates that sense of safety in knowing what to expect and what's going to happen. It also takes away all the guesswork, right? I don't have to make 1,000 decisions day in and day out because I have routines in place. So it takes the pressure off and allows my brain to rest a little easier knowing what we're doing and when we're doing it. The feeling of powerlessness pops up in other ways in life too, by the way. Many, many times I catch myself feeling agitated with something, and when I start thinking it through, I usually can find something where I'm feeling powerless, right? I used to get really irritated. My mom has some chronic pain issues, you know, for various reasons. And I used to catch myself feeling irritated when she would talk about her pain. And I do not ever, for any reason, want to feel irritated toward my mother, right? Like, that makes me feel like a terrible human being because she is phenomenal. So when I caught that, right, I caught that reaction to myself and being irritated with it, I had to start figuring out, like, what's going on with you? You know, like, why does this bother you? Why do you have this response? And I figured out the challenge for me is because I can't fix it. I feel powerless over her pain and discomfort, and it pisses me off. I don't want my mom to have pain, and I can't crawl inside her and make it all go away, right? I'm powerless. Another situation, I have a pretty crazy story regarding my college career, right? I didn't go to college until I was 37, and it was a very bumpy road. Not my classes, that part was easy, but I went to college to take a 2-year course in addiction counseling, and right when I was finishing, they made that program obsolete. I was 2 years in and told I had to now get a 4-year degree, and many of my classes were so specialized that the credits didn't transfer to a different degree. So 2 years in, I had to start over from basically zero. And I did. Ultimately, I pulled myself together. I chose to go to social work school. I got it all figured out. But I had a lot of resentment over that situation that I didn't realize until later. My attitude got really shitty. I was pretty aggressive with my school, and I was angry, you know? When I started to recognize I was being a jerk, and I started to dig into my mental drama, I realized again I was in this position of feeling powerless. There was nothing I could do to change my college and the decisions they made. I felt like I was being forced to do something I didn't really want to do, and I was angry they weren't teaching me about my chosen field of addiction. I was mad because I was powerless. At the end of it all, I didn't finish my senior year because my business had grown so much by that point. I was traveling on a weekly basis, and I had finally realized that I don't fit in their system, and their system doesn't serve me well, right, with what my goals are. And there were some other things at play there, but I decided to focus on growing my business, and I took my power back. Just like once I stepped away from alcohol, I gained all this power in my life because I took my power back. All of a sudden, I understood how to tackle the unmanageability. I understood that if I took the 3 minutes to pay the bills when I got them in the mail, then I didn't have to spend an afternoon rushing around at the last minute driving to the electric company to pay them so they didn't shut my electricity off. I understood that I had the power to make better choices in who I date, so I wasn't always disappointed and hurt because I was broken, so I chose broken people to date. I understood that if I made good choices for myself and continue to be teachable and learn and be a better human, I have the power to create whatever life I want. It's all up to me. Not alcohol, not any other person, place, or thing, but it's up to me. And for those of you that have faith and a spiritual belief system, you understand that's a whole added layer also. There's no denying that if I make good choices for myself, then good things will happen. There's also no denying that life is incredibly challenging, and there will always be challenges too. Making the decision to be 150% dedicated to my sobriety led me on a whole journey I could have never imagined. Years later, making the decision to work on myself and my self-esteem led me to another piece of my journey. The decision to go to college at 37 led me to all kinds of other things and people that led me to all kinds of other things. All of that is me being powerful, not powerless. Just like we talked about in the Is Relapse a Choice episode, every step of the way, you have the power to make choices. Do you drink or not drink? Do you reach out to someone or stay isolated and alone? Do you go to meetings or the liquor store? Do you meditate or pray to get your anxiety in check, or do you reach for a drink? All of that is within your power. Several years ago, I made a series of choices that weren't great. Of course, I didn't do it on purpose, but if I'm being honest, I definitely moved forward with some things that my instincts were telling me not to do, and that set into motion a couple of years of struggles and challenges, and I had to figure those things out and work through it. Even in these last few years, for me, have been filled with difficulties and challenges, financial insecurity, friendships pushed to the brink and forever changed, some friendships completely lost. But to continue moving forward, to get support and accountability, to keep myself healthy, to remain teachable to life's lessons, and to have faith that every piece of struggle is meant to build me stronger, all of those choices are within my power. Even when I'm in pain, I have the choice to do the right things or do the wrong things. Luckily, at this stage of the game, I do the right things more often than the wrong, but it is not 100% of the time. Sometimes I just don't care and I'll do the wrong thing. But you see what I'm saying? I'm powerless over alcohol, but I'm powerful in my life. I have the power of choice in all my decisions throughout each day. You know, it's all about micro decisions, and the micro decisions you make all day, every day create the sum of what your life looks like. Do I hit the snooze button and end up having to jump out of bed, take a 2-minute shower, skip finding clean clothes, and rush out the door? Or do you get yourself out of bed when the alarm goes off, take a second to say thank you to the universe for giving you the strength to get up instead of hitting snooze, have a few seconds to visualize how amazing your day is going to be and how great you'll feel walking into work relaxed and fresh and the smile you're going to give everyone because you feel great? Seems like an easy choice to me. Or for me, do I have crappy food for lunch because it's quick and easy and I love crappy food? Even though I know it's going to make me feel bad and it makes me tired, it makes me disappointed in that choice, or do I have something good that will fuel my body and make me stronger and give me energy to finish the day strong? Do I get in an argument with someone because they bruised my ego or pride, or do I let it go and save my energy for a more grown-up conversation when I'm not stuck in my feelings? Do I sit down and take a few minutes to pay the bills or ignore them till the last minute and feel bad about myself because I ignored them till the last minute? Micro decisions. Powerful decisions. We are not powerless in our lives and choices, and that's what I want you to feel, because being trapped in addiction and alcoholism feels so completely powerless and out of control. But your life and recovery don't have to. I am powerless and powerful. As usual, my friends, I hope this helps. I hope you have a better understanding of powerlessness so that word doesn't freak you out. And if you haven't listened to Dax Shepard episode, definitely check that out too. Armchair Experts. It's called Day 7. I think you'll love it. I'd love to hear your thoughts in the Facebook group. And I will link to join the Facebook group in the show notes. And I hope you are having a fantastic day. And I'll see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. Candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.